It's so good to be with you guys here on Answers for Today. I'm so blessed to have my good friend Jeff Russell with us today. Jeff, welcome back to the program. You've been on before, but it's been a while, but we're glad to have you here.
Thanks. Nice to be here.
You know, what we'd like to talk about today is one of the parts it's dear to me is the lack of peace that believers and people are experiencing. And actually, you know, with our world with so much trouble going on, it's almost like we're living in a time of high anxiety, Jeff. We got a new president coming on board now, and I mean, who knows what's going on in Israel, just the economy going up and down. People are truly, truly stressed about their lives. Does the Bible give us answers, Jeff? And maybe we could talk about the dangers of the anxiety and the lack of peace in people's lives.
You know, Terry, it's quite natural to be anxious about many things, but it reminds me of that old song, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer."
Hey, Jeff, why don't you give the audience just a good definition of what anxiety is to you?
Well, according to Webster's definition of it, anxiety is an unsettling of soul.
Oh, boy.
And that's deep calling upon deep, because it's interesting to note that the disciples, after the Lord had told them, "We're going to the other side," were very anxious about the waves that were raising.
Yes.
And so Jesus awakes after they come to him and said, "Lord, don't you care if we die? Carest ye not that we perish?" And he gets up, rebukes the disciples, and in the Greek grammar it's harsh, and says, "Peace, be still," to the water.
Yeah. And so anxiety is the opposite of peace.
Absolutely.
I know people I've been talking to lately where their work situation's so difficult, their family life so difficult. Even at night, they can't sleep. They wake up in the middle of the night. They do want to describe. They say it's like my heart's racing. I got panic attacks. I don't have rest. And so that's kind of what you're saying is the climate of people's life right now is filled with anxiety, right?
Yes, but we want to go back for a second here, because we want to be careful when we're talking about peace to make sure that we're talking about the peace that God gives. Mm. Jesus said, "My peace I give unto thee. Not as the world giveth peace,
wow,
I give my peace unto thee." So basically what we're saying here is you can have a pseudo peace. You can have this false sense of peace. In other words, you can think like everything is perfectly fine while things are crashing around you. And in reality, that's not the peace that he's talking about. He's talking about the peace that comes from knowing him.
So I'm glad you mentioned that, because it is that peace that we want to talk about, the rest that God has for us. You know, I find it's interesting. I find this article about anxiety where it says where the Bible doesn't really say a lot about anxiety, but the word itself may be found, isn't found that all often in the Bible, 8 times in the Old Testament and some 7 times in different versions. But the King James, I find it's interesting, they use different words for it, like trouble or heaviness or distress and cares are used in the Bible. So really, we see a lot of instances of anxiety and people that are troubled within the Bible throughout. But you're saying that the resolve is that we can experience peace. One of the things that you and I talk about is the problem that we don't allow or we don't let peace rule within our hearts, and we don't let the Word of God dwell on us. And so, Jeff, doesn't it come down to a choice when you see this word "let" in the Bible? Maybe you could talk to the audience about that a little bit.
Well, forgive me for mentioning it, but 1,119 times, just in the Greek New Testament, we read the words "let." It means to allow or to permit. So we are to allow or permit the peace that God gives to be the ruling decisive factor in every decision we make as a corporate body or as an individual.
So it's really a choice that I have to make where I got to believe God's word and I got to allow God's word, because I think a lot of times people will hear these truths, but there's a difference. What makes a difference is somebody who hears the truth of God and those who is experiencing it. Isn't it right here in your word that you were just saying that you got to let, that you got to allow it to happen?
Yes, but that's a peace that's afforded. And what I mean by that is, before you can experience the peace that God gives, you first have to have peace with God.
Mm.
And so what he says in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 2, he talks about Melchizedek, which is a Christophany, if you will, coming in contact with Abraham. Mm. And he says, Melchizedek, first being translated King of Righteousness. Now watch this. After that, Prince of Peace. So from that we get righteousness must first be established before peace can be experienced, and peace is the inheritance of the righteous.
So if I understand right what you were saying, righteousness must be first established, and the only way that you could experience righteousness is with a real relationship with God that is brought to us through the person of Jesus Christ. And then at that point, we're at peace with God. And that's really the, if you're not there, you can't experience, like you said, the peace that Jesus spoke about until you come to that place where you have peace with God. Right. Go ahead, Jeff, but also I'd like you to talk about human righteousness. And where does that come into when you talk about this righteousness that we need to have with God?
Okay, so let me say this again. So righteousness must first be established before peace can be experienced. Now, often in my own life, I've kind of envisioned the peace of God as a Tommy gun where I could shoot down vain imaginationings and all of that. But
yeah.
The reality of this is simply that the peace that God gives, because we have a relationship through Jesus Christ, we have peace with God at all times, but we may not always have the peace of God. So we have peace with God. We may not always have the peace of God.
Amen.
So quite often in my own life, I know that I have peace with God through Jesus Christ.
Yes.
But I may not always walk in the peace that God gives, because I open up my mouth and there goes my peace. You know, I discovered something years ago, and I'm still discovering it today. You can give away your peace. No one can take your peace from you. No one. But you can give it away just by opening your mouth.
You know, Jeff, we used to sing a song in the early days of Calvary back in the 70s. One of the lyrics was, "Ain't nobody going to take my joy away, because I've been washing up blood and I know I'm here to stay." But the fact is that I'm the one that gives up the opportunity for God to bless me, for me to experience peace, like you said. I mean, I could be doing real good one day, and the next day it goes out the window because I go back to my old selfish ways, and I keep thinking about myself, and I start worried about that. And like you said, I have peace with God, but am I experiencing the peace of God on a daily basis? And I think that's really where we're leading to, is how to help people, help ones to be able to experience that tremendous peace that Jesus promised us. And so I think really what it is, if you can help me with this, is knowing and understanding the will of God, that it's God's desire that we would experience peace at all time, right, Jeff?
Absolutely. You know, a moment ago you asked the question about human righteousness.
Yes.
And it's interesting because we read in Isaiah 57, beginning at verse 20, "The wicked are like the troubled sea, for it cannot rest. Its waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked."
Wow.
So in other words, I've had people say to me before, "I don't understand why my brother or my sister or my wife or my husband isn't peaceful."
Yeah.
And I would smile and say, "I'm sorry, but if they don't know the Lord, they cannot have peace. They can have a pseudo peace, a human righteousness sort of tranquility about them, but be very disturbed on the inside. It says that the wicked are like the troubled sea. When it cannot rest, they cast up mire and dirt. And what that's basically saying is that the tumult of the sea is so deep as it goes forth, the waters get dark and murky. And it says that's what it's like in the soul of man when he doesn't have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And it says they cannot rest. That's a double negative. No, not at all.
You know, Jeff, that's why I think, like you were saying there, why the wicked can't experience it is because why Jesus said so emphatically that you must be born again. Because there is a difference between, you know, being born into the family of God and that relationship with God that he brings you to place a tremendous peace. You know, Jeff, one of the things I think, you know, certainly the amazing scriptures where Paul writes in Philippians chapter 4, he says that we should rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. When you look at it as just a standalone scripture, you kind of laugh at it and say, boy, that's a great, you know, how does that happen in the real world? Doesn't you know, I got up today, drive my wife to work, and we got hit, the freeway was jam-packed, people cut in front of me, and I go, okay, I'm supposed to rejoice now, I'm supposed to be joyful, but yet Paul, living in a very Roman world, very chaotic world, discovered something that's so unique that he was able to, by the, you know, the Holy Spirit's, pen these beautiful words for us to rejoice. Is that possible in our real world to enjoy peace, to actually to rejoice in a very troubling world, Jeff?
Yes, and going back to the understanding of human righteousness.
Yes.
Quite often if you ask a person if they're a Christian, and many people do this, are you a Christian? And listen, the person will say, yes, I've been going to this church for so many years. And it's always troubled me because when you identify your Christianity with a place rather than a person, you're suspect at the very least of not really truly having an understanding of what the Bible teaches in the Gospels about a relationship with Jesus Christ. I have to say it again, that it is a relationship with God through Jesus Christ that gives us peace with God. And the peace that God gives affords us to the peace that God gives. We don't always maintain that peace. We don't bishop or steward that peace. But there's another side of that. Pastor Terry, there are many people today that are in the church who have been churched. And I'm telling you, I have pastored for 34 years, and I guarantee you, coming in contact with some of these people who read the Bible every day. The Bible tells us to read it to be wise, but to study to show ourselves approved unto God. And respectfully, I submit to you, you only know what you walk in. Mm. Like you said today, you're driving. As you're driving, you have an opportunity to say no to the anger, no to the wrath, or yes, I'm going to maintain my peace.
I think... as we're in Philippians, if you have your Bible, you might want, or pen, you might want to jot these verses down if you haven't looked at them. Jeff and I are talking about is Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 8. He gives us, maybe you could help the audience with this verse here, Jeff, where he says, let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. After he says, rejoice in the Lord always, again I say rejoice, then it seems like Paul is saying, don't forget who's there, who's in the midst. Am I looking at that right, Jeff? What do you think of that verse?
Well, I think the thing that's significant there is that there are distinct features about peace. You know, we find in James 3 that there is a blessing in being a peacemaker. In Isaiah 9:6, that peace accompanies righteousness. Peace is a ministry in Isaiah 32. And that we are distributors of that peace. There's no end to that peace, and we're called to peace. In that particular passage right there, that's talking solely about the peace that God gives to us in our souls as a result of knowing him, we are to be found with him in peace. Mm, mm. Now listen, if you say we're to be found with him in peace, that indicates someone is going to be looking.
He's...
Remember what it said? He was not found, was not found. Enoch was not found. That indicates someone looked for Enoch. Someone's going to be looking upon his return for you to be found in peace.
Mm. And then he goes on and he tells us here, Jeff, in verse 6, he says, be careful for nothing or else be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And so here Paul's talking about real situations, problems that occurred. And he says, be troubled for nothing, be anxious for nothing. Then he tells us what we should be doing. Let your requests be known unto God. I think one of the major problems as believers have is not get God involved in the equation. You know, they try to stress and work it out on their own, but Paul says, start praying, right?
Yes, but let's go back to this again. Being anxious for nothing, nada, not a thing. Well, you cannot say, I'm going to be anxious for nothing without a relationship. But yes. In context here, we want to keep this in context, it's said in prayer. So why is that vitally important to the believer? Very simply this. When you pray, you must believe by faith.
Yes.
Well, if you're anxious, you're not believing by faith.
Yes.
If you have a relationship with him, and let me just say this to everyone who's listening to this broadcast right now, we are carnally quick to excuse the situation of our anger, of our wrath, of our anxiety. People say, if you only knew what I was going through. I live on the same planet.
Yes.
And I know exactly what people are going through. I go through it every day of my life. I don't always maintain my peace. Sometimes I give it away, but I never kid myself into believing that somebody took my peace. Mm. So in this passage, this is dealing with prayer, but everything by prayer and supplication. Let your request be made known to God. Supplication is to prayer what meatballs are to a good sauce. It's the accoutrements, all of the things that make up the flavor of that sauce. So he says, with supplication, that's everything that goes into the prayer. And can I share something with you? If the only thing you're focused on in your prayer is the problem, you're going to forget one vital principle of faith. Thanks, Lord.
Amen.
Thanks that you hear me always.
Isn't it amazing that Paul puts in there with thanksgiving?
Yes.
It's almost like you were saying that spaghetti recipe to make sure you don't forget putting thanksgiving into the recipe, because that's a key ingredient, you know, that you have there. But then he says something amazing, Jeff, where here he says the net result that you're going to have. And listen to this first, folks, if you haven't turned it, it's so beautiful. In verse 7, he says, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your heart. Notice what he also says, not only your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Pretty powerful verse when we get God involved in prayer with thanksgiving. He says the net result is the peace of God, Jeff. And he says it's going to guard your heart and your mind. Why don't you elaborate on that for the folks here a little bit?
Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Well, okay. Man was originally created as a trichotomy, a three-part man, spirit, soul, and body. Man become dichotomous, or a two-part man, after the fall. So the only thing he was capable of delivering was a man living in an earth suit that had a human soul. But the spiritual side of him was dead. Here, it's talking about your heart and mind. Some people teach that these are used interchangeably, and they're not. Mm-hmm. So you can have peace of soul. When you have peace of soul, you can have peace of mind. And you cannot have peace of mind if you are troubled or vexed in your born-again human spirit. And that requires the word let. Allow or permit. Listen, Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 through 17. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. We get our English word to arbitrate. Umpire is the actual word. It says guard and keep your heart and mind. To arbitrate, to guard. Why is it translated from the Greek, umpire? Because the umpire knows where the strike zone is. He knows what a ball is. He knows what a strike is. And when something comes into your thought life that doesn't belong there, the peace of God gets disturbed. And you can either yield to that lower beastly nature of the soul, or you can yield to the Spirit of God. And that's what he's talking about here.
You know, folks, a lot of times as you look at verse 6 and you look at verse 7, and as you're praying, and for a little bit after that, you're feeling that, like Jeff was talking about, that tremendous peace within your heart and your mind. But then all of a sudden you walk away from it, and you're filled with that anxiety again. Why is that? Well, because you pull it back onto yourself and you start stressing with it. Peter says that we should cast our cares upon him because he cares for us. But notice verse 8 is so important for us to maintain peace within our life. He says, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there are anything, any virtue or anything praiseworthy, think on those things. So after you pray, what do you think about? Are you once again stressing and worrying about the problem? And I'm not saying that you should ask for godly wisdom. There's practical things that you need to do. But the stress is that you've now got God involved in it. And God is so faithful. He's going to give you the solutions to your problem. Jeff, we talked so often about knowing about peace, but I'd like you to, there's three things that you mentioned here, and we got a few more minutes before we're going to switch gears here, where you said that we need to walk in peace, we need to live in peace, and we can be found in peace. So important, like we said, after we pray, we need to do some things with our lives, right? We need to be walking in peace, and share with the folks a little bit your thoughts on that.
Well, two things. First, I want to go back to what you said previously, to meditate upon these things.
Yes.
Whatever things are pure, whatever things of good report. But what does it mean to meditate? Well, it means to utter, ponder, speak, think, confess, to muse, to be conversant with oneself. So in other words, it's like chewing the cud. It's like you're going, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You're going over what God's word has to say about something. Now, in what you just asked, it says to let the peace of God rule in your heart. Well, interesting, because in that same passage, it says that you are to let the peace of God rule, and then the next one says, and the word of Christ dwell. The only place in the Brit Hadashah, the only place in the entire 27 books of the New Testament that the word is ever used, word of Christ, ever. And it says you're to let peace rule, let Christ's word dwell. The word dwell means to be at home.
Oh, I like that.
And then it says, so we're to let the word of Christ dwell, to be at home. And it says, do you want to know whether or not God's word is happy living inside of you? It says, three participle phrases are there. You'll be teaching, admonishing, and singing with grace in your heart unto the Lord.
So that brings us back full circle where Paul started there in Philippians 4. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice because you are walking, you are experiencing that tremendous peace that God has for you. Folks, I'm just, you know, like as we opened up, we understand we're living in a very trying, a very troubling world. It's my desire, and as a pastor, as I'm talking with people, I want them to experience the best that God has for their life. And that's the abundant life that Jesus promised for each and every one of us. But it really comes down to our choice. Are we going to step out and believe God? I hope that you'll take your Bible and you sit down and you'll read over Philippians chapter 4 verses 4 through 8 and you'll pray about it and then you go into Colossians chapter 3 and you'll experience that tremendous peace that God has for us. Jeff, we have about another 3 minutes or so, and we would like to talk for a moment about a giveaway that not only here at Answers for Today wants to do, but Agape Chapel, our home church, wants to offer. It's a tremendous project that you were very much involved with, that I'm very excited about. Why don't you tell the folks a little bit about it, and then I'll tell them after you finish up how they could receive this free gift, okay?
Sure. In 1977, Pastor Chuck Smith produced a documentary film entitled Future Survival. When you brought that to the table and shared that, and we got together with others and began to work on this project, what we did was we wanted to check the facts that were said in 1977 against the backdrop of what we know to be today. Mm. One simple truth was this. He made a statement that scientists believe that with a dwindling food supply, that the world population could double in 20 years.
Wow.
Now, what I did was I went on the computer, and I checked out what the population was in 1978.
Yes.
And it was 4 billion people living on the planet.
Yeah.
Well, this is 2017, and I checked the population. 40 years later, after this statement was made, we are now 8 billion. Now, watch this. If we're 6,000 years old and we were 4 billion years, and then suddenly in 40 years we went to 8 billion years with a dwindling food supply, this message, this tape, this documentary film is a must see for everyone.
You know, this is Pastor Chuck Smith, of course, who does the what he does is throughout it, he narrates this film to talk about prophetic events that we're seeing unfolding right before us. We like to offer to you free. What we did is pulled back some of the old footage, put some new footage in there. Didn't really, you know, take anything away that Chuck has said the whole way through. It's a, you know, made to see. It could be used for your church as an outreach to show to your congregation. It's for your home. We like to offer you a free copy. You say, how can I get it? Well, let me give you a couple places. First of all, you can write us at AFT, that's Answers for Today, at P.O. Box 4023, Huntington Beach, California, 92647. You can email us at aft@agapechapeloc.org, or else you always could go to the church website at agapechapeloc.org, and you'll be able to navigate and find the links and make your request. We just need your address, any place in the continental United States. We would love to send you, and let me tell you again, a free copy, no strings attached. We just want to make sure you get blessed by this teaching. You know, Jeff, I really appreciate you being on the program with us this week. Next week, if you can stay around, we'd like to record another program where you and I talk about future survival. Are we at a place where we're concerned about our future? My goodness, just in the news lately, what's going on in Israel, what the UN wants to do, I think we got quite a bit to talk with about. So I would encourage you to tune in next week and tell your friends about it. And so until next time, on behalf of Jeff, this is Terry. May God richly bless you.
For information about this broadcast, or if you have any questions, feel free to mail us at Agape Chapel OC, P.O. Box 4023, Huntington Beach, California, 92647. Or you can email us at aft@agapechapeloc.org. Or visit our website at agapechapeloc.org. Until next time.